push the red button.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. I knew I needed your help. I knew I needed your help with that. Without the vision, then the motivation to make the structural changes at the fundamental level of the church won't be there. It'll just be seen as, oh, we got to pray harder. It's much more than that. It's much more. So, okay. So what we want to do, yes.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, just what you said, if the pastor's not behind it, I think our church is more of a prayer ministry that he wants you to pray.
Yep.
But I don't really feel that he's behind the, they say they're behind prayer in the church, but it's not, it's really not. So, you know, you'd have to get the pastor on board for it to be this, to be seen.
Absolutely. It really helps. In fact, it's almost, in my own thinking about this, the absolute best and ideal would be if the lead pastor becomes the champion of this. But if the lead pastor not only gives permission, but heartily endorses it, I think there's a reasonably good chance that it could still happen in a church.
Okay.
But if the pastor is, it sounds pretty good. Okay, go ahead. I don't know. Because I think it's almost as if there's a headship principle operating kind of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like has to flow. Maybe the anointing for it has to flow from the lead person.
I guess if that was me and I approached my pastor and he said something like that, I would say, okay, so let's map out the next week. When are we going to pray?
I would expect that of you.
Because I think the thing is that if God has anointed us in this to take this message back to our churches,
right,
then what we speak with our mouths comes with the authority of the anointing to break down barriers.
Yeah, if you guys become vision carriers and you can communicate the vision with passion, then I think it's possible that they'll pick it up. But also, it might really help if you give, if your pastor will read a book, if they'll read that book I told you by Dave Butts, B-U-T-T-S, A Prayer, The Forgotten Power in the Church. Really, really powerful book. And there's vision in it. There's anointing in it. The other book I suggested, The Prayer Saturated Church by Cheryl Sachs,
mm-hmm.
That isn't so much a vision-inspiring book. That's a how-to-build-it book. But I don't think it would really communicate essential vision that much. Another way to do it would be to get them to one of the workshops or something, or I don't know. Pray goes through an incredible crisis where he meets God and the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I have it. Yeah, it's the Prayer Saturated Church is the nuts and bolts one, and I do have it. See, here's my workshop notes and slides. Creating church-wide cultures of prayer. Here it is. Forgotten Power. There's the name of the book that if you want to buy it for your pastor, it would be a great gift. Forgotten Power, : A Simple Theology for a Praying Church.
We don't have that yet.
No, I know you don't.
Oh, okay.
I know you don't. Not this one. But this is one when I give a complete workshop, which takes a day, then I give this one. So that's it. Forgotten Power, A Simple Theology for a Praying Church.
Okay.
In the first hour, did you go over like what this looks like?
Yes, we started, we went over a lot of it. We're going to go over the nuts and bolts even more now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so once you make the decision, once your leadership makes the decision to start building the structure for a prayer-saturated church, then the first thing that should be done, and everything I'm going to say now has to be subject to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it could be that you'll start at a different place to start building. But what I'm going to give to you are the four essential elements that need to be in place to create a prayer-saturated church. Now, this isn't just my idea. This is actually based on material that has been developed from that book, The Prayer-Saturated Church, which was based on Cheryl Sachs's research of hundreds of churches that went to a house of prayer model. So, based on her research, she has concluded that what I'm about to tell you will be essential elements that if you put these truly into place in your church will take on that structure of a house of prayer church, and within a few weeks or months, you'll begin to see very visible results of God's kingdom in terms of protection against the enemy and expansion of the kingdom through power. Okay? So, step number one, I've told you, is get your senior leadership on board. They must buy into the vision. Number two, the senior leader of the church selects and appoints a person in the church who's designated and commissioned to be the prayer leader of the church. Now, these are different. The senior leader is different from the prayer leader. In the same way that the worship leader is different than the senior leader, okay? So if I had a chalkboard here, all right, let's say we put systems of the church up here. And going around the vineyard maybe 10 years ago, there was a kind of a wave of teaching that came through called Healthy Church. You guys remember that? Maybe you don't. Anyway, there's a guy named Nelson Searcy. You guys ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Okay. Nelson Searcy has proposed that there are seven systems in the church. This sounds kind of law-based, but really it's almost based on kind of research of what, you know, what a successful church looks like in the Western world, I think primarily the focus. And the seven systems are like the financial system, okay? Small groups. The teaching, training part of the church, the worship of the church, discipleship, okay? I've listed a few of them. But one that's missing, I said this last time, that I think is the most essential system is what?
Prayer.
I believe that prayer needs to be the most fundamental of all the systems. And in fact, if you view it as a system, then you've got the essence of what I'm communicating to you. So my goal, Tim, is not to make you a better prayer. It's not a bad thing for you to be a better prayer, and maybe I can teach you some principles of prayer that would improve your prayer life, but my real goal is to make your church filled with bunches of Tims, all of whom are praying into various areas of church life and church ministry. So it's a whole corporate effort and not just the effort of one or two or three. Remember, we said that. Okay, so you've got leadership on board, element number one. Element number two, appoint a prayer leader. Now, this is very important. A prayer leader needs to be, first of all, a person who is a practitioner of prayer. So in other words, you're going to want to appoint someone a prayer leader who loves to pray and does pray. Probably is going to be one of your main intercessors in your church. Okay. But secondarily, the prayer leader has to also have a leadership slash administrative component to their gift mix. Because the primary function of the prayer leader is not to pray for the church, but is to organize the church into a praying church. So she, the prayer leader, has to be able to passionately demonstrate by example prayer, right? Since we learn by what we see. But also be able to recruit people, persuade people, invite people into this grand vision of a prayer-saturated church. Guess what, my friend? Here's an area that you would be wonderful if you would want to serve in this area here in church life. Would you be part of a prayer shield that will cover the pastor of your church for a year's commitment? You'll keep that guy before the Lord, and that'll be your responsibility. Will you accept that responsibility? Yes, I will. So part of what the prayer leader will do will be to recruit people into major areas of the house of prayer church. Okay? Third element is something that in the literature on this subject is called the prayer action team. Acronym PAT. The prayer action team. The prayer action team is appointed and led by the prayer leader. Now, this is the whole system part, right? I'm giving you the organizational structure here. So the prayer action team consists of people from your church who have a real heart for prayer, and they are also willing to work with the prayer leader and the senior leader to envision and organize and implement this brand new and holistic house of prayer model that you want to put into the church. So the prayer action team becomes the implementation team for the house of prayer. In other words, now here's something that's interesting. I haven't seen this in any of the literature, but it occurred to me. If you take these models, the three models, you turn to the second one, and you've got the prayer ministry group, right? That's in here. And in your church, do you have a prayer ministry team? Maybe four or five, six people who...
Just me.
Just you! God bless you, sister.
But that's all I do.
That's all you do.
I'm a prayer person.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Now we need to replicate you about 300 times. Okay, so this is you. All right. Well, let's say you were added, let's say there were five other people in your church that were like you, okay? And right now you guys were functioning as the prayer ministry team in the church. It's a very easy thing, once you appoint a prayer leader, for the prayer leader to take this initial group right here and ask them whether they would become the prayer action team. Because the function of the prayer action team is not just to pray, although that's very important. I'll tell you why it's important. The devil, as we have noted before, hates prayer. He hates any person who's a praying person. Did you know you were highly hated by the devil?
But I'm more loved by God.
Yes, you are. I like the way you switched that. So the enemy is going to resist any church that decides it wants to become a prayer-saturated church. Because to the extent that church succeeds, the enemy loses territory. Okay? So he's going to attack the implementation of the house of prayer model into a church. So you need a group of people. The prayer action team would be that group of people, and the leaders of the church. Like I said before, my three other full-time pastors in our church, you know, and one other volunteer, and that's our senior pastoral team that we have, and we see it as our job to pray for the Lord to make our church more and more into a fully mature house of prayer church. But the prayer action team also has to do, I call it the heavy lifting. The heavy lifting of praying the church into becoming a house of prayer church. Somebody has to pray for that. There has to be a beachhead established. It has to start to build. It has to catch on. It has to grow. And there are a lot of ways that the enemy will try to derail it, so the prayer pressure has to be kept on. Okay, so there's the prayer action team. And on the prayer action team, you're going to want people who not only love to pray, but also will be willing to help envision and plan and carry out prayer projects in the church. Let me give you an example in our own church. Just recently, we got the idea that we wanted to do a church-wide prayer walking week where everybody in the church was called. Now, nothing's mandatory in our church in this area. We never say you have to do something. It's all based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we'll cast vision for it, and a lot of people respond. Right? Not everybody. I'd love to see everybody respond. But they don't. So, you know, a lot do, though. So the idea, the vision came. We wanted to have a week, and this was the first week of January, where that entire week, people in our church would prayer walk in their neighborhoods, in their governmental buildings, schools, wherever they felt led to walk and pray, and take territory for the kingdom of God through prayer. Okay? So, the prayer action team, which in my church meets once a week for an hour on Monday nights, 1 hour, we pray together and sometimes we then also plan together. Okay? So the prayer action team actually not only prays but also plans and carries out the building of the house of prayer. So part of the house of prayer structure in our church included this prayer walking week. So the prayer action team got together. We talked about how we would build it. We decided when we would present it on a Sunday morning to the entire church. We passed out sign-up sheets. Would you like to prayer walk? If you would, then you know we'll connect with you and we'll give you information. We'll give you guides how to do it. And then we set a time when we're going to prayer walk. And then everybody will go and then we'll report back. So we had it all together. We had it organized. There's an organizational structure to it. Okay. So the prayer action team was the team in the church that actually put that together and helped write the materials for it, and that was their job. Okay? So the prayer action team, that's the third essential element. The first essential element, again, is leadership buy-in. The second essential element, appoint a prayer leader. The third essential element is appoint a prayer action team that is led by the prayer leader. And then the fourth element of the house of prayer, and this is where the first three are kind of the real foundation of it. Then once you get your prayer action team in place, and again, in our church, it consists of seven people. Oh my, I missed my prophetic appointment. Oh no, it's tomorrow. Okay. Okay, good. In our church, we have seven people on the prayer action team. We are working on we have our third prayer leader now in place. The first two, the first one served for about 3 years, and then she took a secular job and decided she didn't have time to do it. So another person was appointed, and she did a really good job in that role as prayer leader in our church, and then she and her family moved away to Michigan. And we've just appointed our third prayer leader, whose name is Ruth, and I think she'll be the other two aren't here. I think she'll be the best. Yeah, let's strike the tape. But I think she will be the best. And why is she the best? She is really, really passionate about prayer, loves prayer, and she is an idea person. So, just to give you an example, give me a second. And I want to read to you something that she just wrote to our leadership team for approval of these ideas. And if we approve of the ideas, then she's going to begin to work on them and roll them out in the months to come. Okay, let me tell you what they are. All right. Okay. She came up with an idea of creating groupings of 10 in our church. We have a lot of people, let me back up. We have a lot of people in our church who are already covered by prayer through something we call prayer shields. Prayer shields are groups of people that are who agree together that they will cover a particular leader or a particular ministry in our church on a daily basis. And it's email-based and it's communication back and forth-based. And I have a handout on it that I gave to you guys, how to create an email-based prayer shield. If you want to take home something and you want to go to your senior pastor and say, can I get started on something in the house of prayer? That's an ideal way to begin. Pick out your leaders in your church and ask them if you could help each one of them develop a prayer shield around their own lives and ministry. If they agree, they will have a much better life. That's true. I can guarantee you. All right? So when Ruth came on board, our new prayer leader, this happened, she came on board about 4 months ago. She's been generating ideas, and one of the ideas she came up with is people in our church, we have about 500 people in our church, and we have a lot of people covered by prayer shields of one kind or another, but there are also a lot of other people in our church who are not in a prayer shield. They're not covered by any prayer shield. So what she decided to do, she wanted to form groupings of 10 people who didn't have prayer shields covering them, and they would create their own prayer shields to cover each other. And so she has rolled this out, and this is where she is. The groupings of 10 who can reach out to each other in prayer through either texting or email was finally activated this past week, and I have seen several people reaching out in prayer to each other through texting. So she started to put together these groups of 10. So this is one way, okay. All right, stop, Bruce. Organize. Okay. Element number one, here's quiz time. Element number one in the house of prayer is what?
Senior leadership.
Yeah, senior leadership buy-in. Element number two?
Prayer leader.
Element number three?
An action team.
Prayer action team. Okay, element number four that is ongoing for the rest of your church's life is that the prayer action team and the prayer leader and the senior leader of your church all work together to generate many different on-ramps to prayer in your church. Now, an on-ramp is a way you get into something easily. So the prayer action team and your prayer leader's job, part of it, is to create ways for people in your church to jump into the prayer process. Not everybody is in the same place. I was talking to Kevin and his wife over here, and they were saying they're in charge of the prayer ministry in their church, but they have some people in their church who can't or won't pray out loud. They aren't comfortable. So would it make sense that part of what the prayer action team would do, hey, let's create a class for praying 101. Let's give elementary training to people who aren't even comfortable praying out loud and get them started in the rudimentary teachings of prayer. Who do you pray to?
The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit?
How do you end a prayer?
In Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you have to put amen? You know, how do you know God's will when you pray? So these basic elements that are fundamental building blocks of successful prayer, you can create a class. In our church, we have bunches of small groups. You guys probably do too.
Yeah.
We have seasons of small groups. Do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say fall of 2017, the prayer action team plans Praying 101, a small group for those who want to learn how to pray. It's an 8-week class. It meets in a home, and you go over these elements. So that would be one on-ramp that you build. Okay? So then the prayer action team, I just told you about one that our prayer action team built. Another on-ramp into prayer was a week of church-wide prayer walking. We built that, and I think we had about 150 people involved in that prayer walk during that week. Okay? So the prayer action team's job is to generate literally over years dozens and dozens of different ways to enable your church to be involved in broad-based, sustainable, continual prayer. Okay. All right, let me explain. Let me read more about. These are our prayer leaders' ideas. So the groupings of 10 is one. Second one, I've gathered all the information from prayer walking week that I was able to obtain, and I've made new maps and posters that I would like to display. We have decided that the week of May 1st through 7th would be our next prayer walking week. So the first prayer walking week was successful enough that they now have decided to do a second one that they're going to organize.
That's when the National Prayer Day is.
Was it National Prayer?
It's going to be in May, the first week. I think.
First week. So they're coordinating it with that. So good idea, right? Uh-huh. People are thinking about it anyway. We are considering doing this with a person named Anna Richardson, who is gathering the churches in Wilmington, Delaware, to do a prayer walk the same week. So actually, we're thinking of syncing up our prayer walk week with a prayer walking week in a city nearest us, okay? So Saturday would be the day. No, they're going to make it a day. Okay, so Saturday would be the day of prayer walking, okay? Another idea. I believe it is the Lord's will for us to do something more proactive regarding deliverance and house cleansing. Do you guys know anything about spiritual house cleansing? Okay. So she knows about that. We have that ministry in our church. She wants to organize it a little more, put a team together, and then advertise it to the church. You know, are you having trouble in your house? Things breaking down a lot, having bad dreams in your house? Get a house cleaning team to come in. Okay. Here's something really exciting. We've also talked about going into the Elkton, Maryland police station through a guy in our church who's a cop, Joshua LaFue, who's a cop at that police station, who is their chaplain. He's a cop who's a chaplain, and reaching out to offer to pray for the staff and the police officers there in Elkton, Maryland. So we want to come alongside the police and form a prayer team to basically partner with them in doing their job. Then she said, after we have done this, we would also like to go to the local police stations or municipal buildings in Newark, Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware, and the area around Landenburg, Pennsylvania, and do the same. So this is a vision she's developing where the church can come alongside government stuff and really partner. Okay. She's got other ideas here too. All right, so there are other ones here, but that's just an idea. Now, she's our prayer leader. So she brings that before our leadership, and our leadership says, okay, this is a great idea. Yeah, this is good. This is good. We approve of that. We think that's great. Yeah, go for this here. So then she will, once she gets approval to do all that stuff, she'll go to the prayer action team, and they'll start praying and thinking and planning and putting together the nuts and the bolts of how they roll out these various on-ramps of prayer. Okay? Now, the central
feature of the house of prayer in our particular church has to do with prayer shields around leaders and around ministries. One thing that we put into place about 2 years ago, and I'll tell you how it happened, is really important, by the way. This next thing is probably the most significant innovation we've made in the house of prayer structure in our own church since the beginning, which was 2001. I reached a place about 3 years ago where I felt like the foundation of prayer that we had in our church was good, but was growing insufficient. In other words, God wanted to do more through the church, but he didn't have a foundation big enough to build the house bigger. Because if you want to build a bigger structure, you need a bigger foundation. So we had to find a way to increase the amount of prayer that we were generating as a church. And I don't know about you, but I believe that not only quality of prayer, but also literally quantity of prayer makes a difference in the kingdom of God. I really do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's the essence of the principle of agreement mm-hmm. in prayer, right?
Amen.
Two or more agree together. Yes. Why would that be important at all if somehow additional, right, people involved didn't make a difference? So I think it does. So if you can have 100 people praying into the same, see, this is where that issue of with one accord, with one focus, right? If you have 100 people focusing on 100 different targets, you're not going to concentrate force. One of the central doctrines of military victory is called concentration of force. Same is true in the spiritual world. If you want to make a difference, you concentrate force and you explode into it. And so if you get 100 people in agreement, then you've got a tremendous amount of prayer power that's focused into a particular area. So I think that makes a difference. So I said to my elders and my leaders, I said, we need to increase the sheer amount of prayer that we are generating as a church to grow into the next level of effectiveness as a kingdom church. So this one guy puts up his hand and he said, I think I know how to do it. And I said, what? And he said, well, you know how we put prayer shields around individual leaders in our church? In other words, we have a policy in our church that if you don't have a prayer shield in place, you can't be a leader in our church. You must. Now, we're pretty loosey-goosey in a lot of areas in our church. We're like leading of the Spirit type thing. But we have learned through hard experience that if a leader tries to do their job in our church and doesn't have a prayer shield, it's going to be really hard, and often they get picked off. Even small group leaders. Their groups will stumble along. The people won't come to the people who sign up won't show up. They'll get sickness. The leaders will get sickness in their family. They'll get all kinds of distractions happen on the night of the meeting. I mean, all this is satanic trick, right? This is demonic stuff. So the way you eliminate that is we make people get prayer shields. And when you put the prayer shields in place around the people, then all that interference from the enemy goes down from about a 7 or an 8 down to a 1 or a 2. Now, I wish it was all completely eliminated, but it's not completely eliminated, but it's very substantially eliminated. So we mandate prayer shields. He said, you know how we do that for individuals? And I said, yeah. And he said, why don't we build a prayer shield, the same type of shield, but around the entire church?
That's what David was talking about.
That's right. And I said, well, what do you mean? We said, well, send out sign-up sheets, get people to sign up to be part of an email group. And then the senior leaders in the church, you guys create an email once a week that's got from 3 to 5, roughly. I mean, that's only a kind of a rough thing. Could be 2, could be 7. But from 3 to 5 bullet-pointed prayer targets that pertain to the whole church. I'll give you an example of one of them. Let's say, for instance, as we leaders meet We've heard reports in our church that that four or five of our families have had people in car accidents. Okay? Well, the way we understand things is when you see a pattern of multiple manifestations like that in the natural world, it is often an indication that there's something supernatural going on that's negative.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll then put into a bullet-pointed email thing, one of the items will be, pray against attack on the families of our church in the area of automobile accidents.
Now, I know that an automobile in a dream can be a ministry.
Well, this isn't a dream though. These are real automobile accidents.
I just mean, how do you take? Let's say if someone approached you with something like that, how would you then word your prayer?
You mean like a dream? Somebody approached me with a dream?
Somebody had a dream, and...
Yeah, I would want to get the interpretation of the dream. So my understanding of dreams and interpretations is that record as much of the dream as you can, right?
Right.
Then how do you know what the dream means? You ask the Lord.
Right.
For his interpretation of the dream, and then you figure it out from there. And if... That would be called, I think, a prophetic dream indicating something that was going on. It gets murky. But let's say in a dream you had a communication that the Lord gave you that something bad was happening in the church.
Uh-huh.
Let's say there was a dream that was filled with snakes infiltrating a garden.
Okay.
All right? And let's say the interpretation you came up with was that the enemy was trying to get into the church in the area of injecting venomous words into people's lives, which might sound like an attack of slander or accusation or backbiting or something, right? If that was the interpretation, then probably what we would put into the email would be, church, pray against an attack by the enemy in the area of... words being spoken in a destructive way. Pray against that. Pray that that would stop.
How long do you do that?
You do it 1 week. You send it out because it's week by week. So you send it out 1 week, and if it goes away, which tends to happen, right? Once you pray against it, it goes away. Then you don't have to send it out again. It's done. So the next time you send it out, it's, thank you, guys. You did a great job in praying. This attack has been destroyed. Praise God. So you give the church three or four bulleted, targeted points like that. Pray for Project Timothy that's coming up. I don't know whether you guys know what that is. You might not. But it's a youth training thing our church does every summer. Pray for God's anointing on it, that the 150 kids who are coming from all the vineyards on the East Coast will be mightily, trained up and impacted by the Holy Spirit and blessed and stuff. So you put that out. You start putting that out maybe a couple of months before the event.
When is it?
It's every summer in August. Okay? So you'd start to get people praying for it, let's say, in July or maybe June. And the church prays into it. And then the event comes, and it's great. And then you send out, thank you so much. You did a great job praying. Because the more you encourage people and thank them, the more they're going to feel, wow, I did something significant in the kingdom of God. Give me more. Right? And so then you send them another email. Now start praying into this. Start praying into that. Pray against this. Remember, the two great pillars of the house of prayer are what? Protection against the enemy and empowerment by the Spirit. So protection, empowerment. So we created this prayer shield. We have 175 people in the church who are on the email group. And the way we've divided it up is we have about 30 to 35 people who pray each day of the week. 35 Monday, 35 Tuesday, 35 Wednesday. And we say, you know, pray as led. If you want to pray every day of the week, we're not stopping you. But try to focus in on each day so that we have literally hours of prayer a day that are covering and empowering the whole church. Awesome. So that is the way 3 years ago that we put into effect a mechanism, an on-ramp, back here to my invisible diagram, an on-ramp of prayer, right, that allowed 175 people in the church to lock into a process of prayer that's easy but extremely effective. And keeps them really involved in the life of the church, right? They're part of it. So that's the idea. So that's the fourth component. Visionary buy-in from the senior leadership, appointment of a prayer leader, appointment of a prayer action team, and then the prayer action team and everybody else working together and generating multiple on-ramps of prayer for the whole church to get involved with. And if you put that system into place, and the research indicates that if you go from model one, model A, prayer light, where prayer isn't a part of a church at all, the time frame it takes to get from here to the third model is between one and 3 years. So don't think this is going to be immediately accomplished. It takes a while to turn an aircraft carrier. And it takes a while to change the mind of people who have thought of prayer in the old way. What's the old way? Individual, hit and miss, crisis driven, right? And yeah, as a matter of fact, most research indicates that most pastors believe that their people are praying anyway, automatically. They just sort of believe it. And they're shocked when they find out how little their people are really praying and how little their prayers are accomplishing. So that's one of the reasons why to get pastors involved at this level is really important. Any questions? Yes.
I will comment on a prayer walk.
Yeah.
But I don't know in your state, but I guess in Illinois on June 14th, Franklin Graham's going to be in the state capitol. I guess he's going to go to every state capitol in the United States and pray for our nation.
Yeah.
Pray for the state and pray for the nation.
Yep.
And it's 14th in Illinois, so I don't know when it's going to be.
That's one way your church could get involved in that.
Yeah, they're going to take a bus. We're going, and a lot of buses, the radio stations are on.
You know, once you cast out a vision of a dynamic, prayer-saturated atmosphere in church and people catch it, then you can start doing things like, hey, we're planning a prayer adventure. This July, we're going to go down to the shore, because there's a church down there called the Shore Vineyard, down on the Jersey Shore, and we are going to partner with them, and we're going to prayer walk the area that they serve down there, and we're going to pray for their ministry, and then we're going to do that in the morning. In the afternoon, we're going to go to the beach.
There you go.
Who wants to sign up for the prayer adventure?
Sure.
Here's another popular prayer adventure that various churches do. It's called mountaintop praying for people who are athletic, right? So somebody says, hey, I want to lead a group of people up to the mountain over here. You got any mountains on here?
No.
No. That might not work around here.
Eckhart Field over there.
Okay. All right, so scratch that one. But let's say you're in California. They've got mountains. And so you say, well, we want to do a mountaintop prayer excursion. We're going to do it this Saturday. You know, bring your hiking gear. We're going to hike up. We're going to meet here at the church. We're going to go over and caravan over. We're going to climb this mountain and get to the top. And then we're going to spend an hour and we're going to pray over everything we see. We're just going to pray God's power come into the area. We're going to pray for the governments. We're going to pray for whatever else God puts in our hearts. And then after an hour of prayer, we'll have lunch together. Then we'll hike back down the mountain
and have a journey together, have an adventure together.
And
isn't that
make,
cool?
Make sure that you pray there is no rain when you're up in the
mountains. Oh, yeah, yeah. Pray for the weather, right.
Yeah, got to do that. So
that's an example. I mean, and that's another on-ramp of prayer, right? So sponsoring classes. The pastor who grabs hold of this ought to do at least one series of teachings on prayer per year. Right?
How many Sundays do you see in a series, like in that context? Three?
Two or three.
Two or three.
But also the pastor who's dedicated to the house of prayer model will mention, you know, we'll try to seed into his teaching or her teaching every week kind of things about prayer. Wow, I was praying the other day and the Lord showed me this. Or, you know, we see great answers to prayer. Let me share with you a testimony about what we saw just last week about how powerful prayer is. So you're always seeding. You're always throwing out there, you know, let's get involved in prayer. We can all do this. You know, let's do more of it. So, you know, you make it a whole church type of thing. But it takes from 1 to 3 years to get people shifted over. So don't think you're going to be instantly successful. Although I think Doral over here would be instantly successful. If anybody can be.
I have to say that, okay, so this is my home church. And half as a pastor in the beginning of our church, devoted himself to prayer in an interesting way. He and I had 5 children. And he, every morning, got up and fixed the kids' breakfast so that his wife could have an hour or an hour and a half time to do nothing but pray. Now, that's our foundation. That's right. That's from when we were a little house church, you know, a little house church.
Yep.
And, no, this is what God's done with it.
You got it.
Amen.
You got it.
Amen.
And so, you know, to be a part of that. I think we're, you know, those of us who are here are part of that, are part of that foundation and growing then the continual growth of that foundation. But the center structure of the foundation
is prayer.
Is prayer. It can't be anything else.
All right. Let's stand together. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's do this. I believe in the power of proclamation. So if you guys feel comfortable, just repeat after me and we'll just proclaim in prayer together, okay?
Okay.
Lord God.
Lord God.
We come before you now.
We come before you now.
We ask you to extend your strong right arm.
Into our churches.
Cast vision to our pastors. Release structure into our churches. Of the house of prayer. Lord, we need your strength.
We receive your power.
We receive your grace. Build the house of prayer into each of our churches. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.